I want you to pray for me today, because I'm going to talk about something I've never talked about before. I'm certainly not an expert. I've been doing my best to research, but I think it has something to do with prophecy and the last days, and it is definitely influencing the culture around us today. And we're talking about Babylon, AI, and prophecy. I'm going to say quite a bit about AI. Go with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis chapter 11. I'll start maybe here. In Genesis chapter 11, we've got a story I think we're all acquainted with. Some of the critics say, well, this was just an allegory, but I believe it's real. Now, the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, come, let us bake bricks thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Why did they want to build a tower that top reached into the heavens? Well, God had told them to scatter across the world, to be fruitful, go out and multiply. And he said he would never flood the world again, but maybe they thought, we might need to save ourselves. We can run to this tower. They're not interested in making a name for God. They want to make a name for themselves. They said, look, we've got a new discovery. Brick and asphalt, you know, with brick and concrete or mortar, you can build very high with baked brick. It holds an incredible amount of weight. We don't know how high they got, but it went a ways. It says, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the sons of men had built. So they had built something. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are as one, and they have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Very important principle I want to park on for just a moment. God created man. He endowed us with a certain amount of natural ability. God does not always interrupt the course of man. He allows cause and effect to play out. And a lot of the suffering and things you see in the world today is because God is a loving God. He gives freedom and he allows us to think and make decisions and make inventions for good or bad. Nothing that they attempt now will be withheld from them. Come, let us, another example of the Trinity here, let us go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Well, we're living in an age where once again the world is coming together to make a name for ourselves, and we're building a tower. And man has knowledge that it looks like we're reaching for that forbidden tree to have knowledge that we're not supposed to have. And it's just exploding in every direction. God confused the languages of the world back then so that they would scatter. Well, we've scattered pretty well. But even as I preach right now, I hope it's working. We have artificial intelligence translating what I'm saying within about 15 seconds of my speaking. If you go to the Granite Bay Hilltop website, don't do it while I'm preaching. I mean, for those who are watching. It's being translated into Spanish and into Russian with my voice. And soon Amazing Facts is going to be reproducing all of our programs in the seven major languages of the world. It's almost like Babel's being reversed. And that's good. That technology is good. It's getting the message out. But there can be a dark side to this technology. I want to talk to you a little bit about that. I think prophecy has something to say to us about that. Now, before we go any farther, I just wanted you to notice something you probably already know, is that it seems that fiction ends up coming to reality. Science fiction becomes reality. Does anyone here remember Dick Tracy? And I thought it was the coolest thing in the world when I was a kid. I'd read those comic books, and there he went. He had a walkie-talkie watch. And I thought, well, that's cool, but it'll never happen. And then you had the Jetsons. And the Jetsons, they could do FaceTime on their watch. Just before I came out to preach, I was standing back there with Karen, and our son sent me a text. And his picture popped up on my watch. It's amazing. Let me see. How many people live in Turkmenistan?
7,364,438.
I get email messages, pictures. It's telling me when I sleep how well I slept. Sometimes I don't believe it because I don't feel like I slept very well, but it's saying, you had a good night's sleep. I can blame Pastor Lucas for this. I finally traded in my Casio and got a smartwatch, and it's incredible. I can, of course, answer the phone. I take it off when I take a nap because people call me while I'm sleeping there and I got my hand with my watch on. Just, it's mind-boggling what is happening now with technology. Some of you probably are aware of Star Trek. And do you know that it was Captain Kirk's flip phone that inspired a Motorola engineer to make a mobile phone and later even a flip phone? And Leonard Nimoy, Karen and I were up in Kovalo going through my mother's old letters. We found a letter from Leonard Nimoy, which Mr. Spock, to my mom. But Leonard Nimoy, he had this translator so he could understand aliens. But you know, now when you go to other countries, you can have an app on your phone. They can speak, and it'll instantly translate what they say with audio, and you can talk, and you can translate what they're saying back and forth. We were in restaurants. I forget we were in Dominican Republic and in Brazil, and they knew that we didn't understand. They said, oh, no problem. What's your order? It's just amazing. But it gets a little more ominous. Do you know that as far back as 175 AD, the Syrian satirist Lucian of Samosata, he imagined ships that would fly to the moon, 175 AD. In her short story, 1880, called Mizora, Mary Bradley Lane describes Amazonians who transform beef's chemical elements into synthetic veggie burgers. That was 1880. Now we have veggie burgers. H.G. Wells, 1914, talked about in his book, The World Set Free, creating an atomic bomb. And I could go on talking about H.G. Wells and Jules Verne. Tom Swift and his electric rifle, 1911, details a boy inventor whose blaster stun uses a powerful current of electricity to knock people down. We call them tasers today. This was all science fiction. Over 55 years ago, Arthur C. Clarke worked in releasing a book that turned into a classic movie called 2001 Space Odyssey, where these astronauts on a ship that has AI, a computer named HAL. HAL takes over the ship, kills most of the astronauts, and the last astronaut is threatening to unplug HAL. And we all laughed and thought, nah, the man has become like us. Now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. So maybe a definition. What is AI or machine learning? Artificial intelligence is AI. It's a broad field of computer science focused on creating machines that can perform tasks and typically require human intelligence. Machine learning, a little different, is a subset of AI that focuses on enabling computers to learn from data without explicit programming to improve their performance over time. Now, I've got a few charts I want to show you real quick. This is the Moore chart. The Moore chart was a theory that's proven true that every year transistors would double. I think maybe it was every 2 years, transistors would double in size. Transistors are what is used in microchips, and you can see it has proven true. The amount, you know what exponential growth is. It's simply 1 and 1 is 2. 2 and 2 is 4, 4 and 4 is 8, 8 and 8 is 16, and you just go about 30 digits and you're in the billions. You know what I'm saying? And this is what's happened with transistor technology. Show me the next picture of transistors. On the left, you've got transistors. The transistors are in every computer. What they're doing is they're switching information, breaks it down into zeros and ones, but they use this to do calculations by saying yes or no, right or wrong, and through that information, they can process all kinds of equations and questions. You're looking at 7 transistors on the left, and you're looking at 50 billion on the right. That disk that is being held there, the transistors are so small, they're about the size of DNA. They're building transistors now on like an atomic level. and the computers, they are screaming fast. Look at the exponential growth arc of AI 2012. And you can see they had like AlexNet and AlphaGo, transformer architecture. And you know, no, none of the AI companies could get any money to invest in developing it because people said, it's years away. But then the money started coming in after ChatGPT. It has exploded and it is going into orbit, the trajectory and the things that are going to be used by AI. Now, I want to take a minute and just say, AI is not the devil. It's a technology. Every technology, you know, when TVs came out, people said it's of the devil. Well, you could show Amazing Facts or you could show soap operas. They would be of the devil. You could, you know, radio came out. They said it's of the devil. Well, you can, you know, listen to the Bible or you can listen to rock and roll. The printing press, people said that technology is of the devil. You know, some of the original Bible scribes, when printing presses came out, they said God cannot speak through a Bible printed by a machine. And they thought these Bibles were machine Bibles rather than being handwritten by scribes. Well, you and I laugh at that now. You can have a Bible printed. You can have a bad magazine printed. It's a technology. See what I'm saying? AI is a technology. But as history goes by, we see that whatever technology is developed that people want to use for good, because humans are not always good, we find a way to use it for evil. Atomic nuclear energy is, it's wonderful. Submarines can stay underwater for years, but you can also blow up a city. So there are some good things that you can do with AI, and I'll take a moment just talk about some of those. And by the way, Larry Ellison, the founder of Oracle, he said, AI is the most important discovery in human history. You can use it for medical. They right now are doing spine implants that are helping paralyzed people to walk. They've got AI that is helping to analyze what a person's sickness might be and not only prescribe the right medicine, it'll go through your genome to find out based on your genetic makeup, it'll specifically prescribe your treatment and it may be a specific medicine for a particular type of cancer. You can go to the doctor and take an x-ray of your kidney and they'll compare your kidney x-ray to millions of others in a matter of seconds and they can say, based on all of the other diagnoses, based on those pictures, here's what your issue is. And it's incredibly effective. You know, they're doing robotic surgery now. Or a doctor's in one room, he can even be in another country. And using the internet, he is operating a machine called the Da Vinci, and he is looking through a video camera, and he is making incisions on a person that's in another country and operating and removing their brain or something. That's right. There's a shortage of teachers, you know. They've got more and more students now that are using computers to learn and chat. They've got these chat programs where kids are taking tests and they're learning and going through their classes through computers, and it kind of controls it. Of course, it can be abused. Some kids are not writing their term papers themselves or having a chat bot write their term paper, and it sounds original, and they'll go through and make little mistakes so the teacher won't spot it. Put in the regular mistakes and misspells. All the knowledge of the world is now at your fingertips through your smartphone when you think about it. And it's wonderful. They got robots doing everything now. They got self-driving cars and self-flying planes and drones. And Karen and I were in Miami not too long ago crossing the street downtown. I saw there's a robot coming up the street. Got a little camera spinning around. It was rolling itself and went to the light. It waits for the light to change. Very busy. And, you know, I'm going, excuse me. And the robot goes by and it crosses the street. It was delivering lunch to some law office across the street. They ordered it and they're taking the place of an Uber driver. They type in what their receipt number is. The box pops open. They pull their lunch out. They close the box. It goes back to the pizza shop or wherever it came from. Oh, friends, you haven't seen anything yet. I mean, the ways that this technology is taking over our society is just absolutely amazing. And the frightening thing is that Bill Gates said, and now we'll look at some of the dangerous side. Over the next decade, Bill Gates is saying, AI means a lot of humans will no longer be needed for most things in the world. They estimate 400 million workers could be displaced in like 6 years. Now, there's only 330 million people in North America. That's quite a few workers. Now, some of them will take up new jobs that are working in cooperation. When the auto industry started using robots to build cars, they still needed people then to work side by side with the robots. And so there's still a lot of auto workers, but not as many as they would have needed. And frankly, the cars are a lot better now being made by robots. You don't have the little welding problems they used to have, and the seams are perfect. It's incredible, the technology and the accuracy that machines can use. But there are some dangers. Vatican City, May 10. What's the date? And my watch is still doing recording. 17th? This is not that long ago. Pope Leo XIV was just installed. You know what the first thing out of his lips was when they said, "What is your priority?" The Pope said, "Identifying artificial intelligence is one of the most critical matters facing humanity." Toward the end of his pontificate, Pope Francis became increasingly vocal towards the threats to humanity posed by AI, and he called for an international treaty to regulate it. In an NPR interview, Elon Musk said, "I think that people should really be concerned about it. I keep sounding the alarm bell." In 2015, Musk, love him or hate him, friends, you just know that he's on the cusp of this technology. He says in 2015, he wrote a letter warning of the risks of AI, an AI arms race. Musk has invested in a project designed to make AI open tech. He's afraid a country will just, you know, possess that and use it as a weapon. He wants it prevented from being controlled by any one company. Earlier this year in Vanity Fair, he published a lengthy piece about Musk's crusade to stop the AI apocalypse. Now, this is a person who is developing AI, and they're concerned about what the future might hold. One of the problems with AI is, frankly, it is dumbing down the populace, the masses. How many of you remember when you were a kid in school and you wanted to know how to multiply something, you had to memorize the multiplication tables? 7 times 7 is 49, and so forth. I had it all memorized. And that was really hard if you're, you know, kind of dyslexic with numbers, but I did memorize. And when you would do division, you'd draw the chart and you'd carry the numbers and you'd figure out how to divide, and you do your decimals, do your percentages. Some of you made it through calculus and algebra, and it was a lot of paperwork. When we were going to fly from point A to point B, we would call in, we'd find out through these radio frequencies, you could call what the wind was. And then you calculate your gas consumption and you calculate the wind variation, and we would have these maps out and we use these. This was our computer. Kind of, they call that a computer. I'd make a little dot on here and then I'd look at the heading and I'd turn this wheel. Boy, it barely turns because I haven't used it in years. And we used to have to figure this stuff in our head. When I took my written, I actually failed it the first time, because there's a lot of calculating that goes on in there, because, you know, flying is rather unforgiving. If you make a mistake, you can't just pull over and park. And now, you know what's replacing a lot of this stuff? You still, I think, have to learn these things, because you could lose power in your plane and your GPS could go off. But most pilots now, they take their iPad and they download software and they connect it to an antenna on their plane, and it is their GPS that tells you how high you are, how fast you're going, where you are on the map. It shows you the map, takes you to the airport, shows you if they have gas or not, what the entertainment at the airport might be, if they got food. It's all there on the iPad now. And I haven't looked for years. It's probably a lot more sophisticated than that. But the danger is, the more and more we depend on machines to do our thinking, we can become lazy. Say amen. The analytical skills of the human race, I think the devil to some extent is dumbing down the population. Meta, used to be Facebook, has just come out with AI glasses. And these glasses, when you walk down the street, they got two cameras on them, they got speakers and a microphone, and whatever you look at, it will evaluate what it is. You somehow signal it, it'll tell you what this person is, and you say, well, I don't know, you're talking to someone, I don't understand what they're saying. It'll hear them, translate for you what they're saying. You can speak, it'll translate it, put it in your ear. You can say it back to them. You can look at a person and say, I'd like to ask that person out on a date. What's a good pickup line? And it will suggest a pickup line. It's got AI built into the glasses. They just went on the market. And they're expensive. They're like $350 a pair. Ray-Ban, good sunglasses. But you know where it gets really spooky is AI is doing artificial reality, deep fake, and even animating the dead. Just this month, May 1st, a man who was murdered appeared in the courtroom. It was a video of him with his voice, his image, moving, speaking to the court and addressing his killer. And the judge allowed that. Wow, that's kind of weird. And you know what they have now? You can put, it's like a little mister. Some of you have seen these little herbal mister, oil misters. You know, it's a little mister thing and it puts fragrance in there. They've got these little misters. The mister will pick up a hologram. It'll create a mist. It'll project a hologram of grandma who's dead. And then you can insert, it'll search any, if you get videos of grandma, what she looked like, it'll do, you know, surround her, it'll reproduce the looks of grandma. You take any voice recordings you have of grandma, and then the kid before he goes to bed say, grandma, can you read me a story? And she'll appear there in the hologram and say, sure, Ginger, what story do you want? I want Pippi Longstockings. I've got Pippi Longstockings right here, because, you know, AI's got all these books. And she'll begin to read the book to the grandchild. Well, grandma's dead. Now, I know it's just technology, and hopefully the kid knows it's just an illusion. But why am I thinking about King Saul going to the witch and saying, can you conjure up an image of Samuel to give me advice? You know, right now with AI, you can say, I have a question for Albert Einstein. Einstein's dead, but it's what the computers do is it scours and farms everything Einstein wrote. And you say, I want to get more information from Einstein on this theory about space and time or whatever. And you'll hear Albert Einstein talking with his voice and giving you an answer. And friends, it's not getting worse. It's getting better. I mean, the technology is getting better. I remember a few years ago, a friend of mine who's an artist, he saw how many people were developing art with AI. By the way, Pastor Doug developed that yesterday, and I'm not much of an artist. I just spoke a few prompts in there. I said, make a big tower like the Tower of Babel, make the clouds in the clouds and make it out of computer components, and gave me four options. I think I did it two or three times, and I like that one. Bingo. I was talking to an artist friend of mine, and he was really upset because he does freehand paint art, you know? He said, oh, AI. He says, you know, make a Jesus, it'll have six fingers. Which is true. AI had a problem with adding too many fingers. And I said, well, is it going to get worse or is it going to get better? And he got quiet because it's just going to get better. It's going to become more and more accurate. People are going to be depending on it more and more. And look at how the world has changed today. There are kids today that do not remember when there was no such thing as a cell phone. Some of you don't remember when you had the rotary dial phones. You remember the touch tone. Da, 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 da. I could play Mary Had a Little Lamb on that phone. I learned how to do it. With the notes. Kids don't remember. This whole generation is growing up in a whole different mindset of intelligence, and there are risks. The world can be hypnotized by worldly wisdom. You look in the Bible in James 3:15, this was in our memory verse, this wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, demonic. All right, if you believe James, is there wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and demonic? You go to Genesis chapter 2. By the way, I think the world is going to end the way it began. You notice I was in Genesis with the Tower of Babel? In Genesis, you got two brothers. They claim to worship the same God. One worships God's way, one worships his own way. The one who worships his own way persecutes and kills the one who worships God's way. The end of time, one has the seal of God, one has the mark of the beast, and they both claim to worship the same God, and one will kill the other. History is going to make full circle. It's going to repeat itself. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden, Genesis 2:15, to tend and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge, notice there's knowledge connected with this tree, of good and evil, it's got good, but it's also got what? Evil. You shall not eat of it. In the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And you go on to verse 5. The devil then, speaking through the serpent, says, God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You'll know so much more, and you will be like God. It was talking about it'll give you God-like knowledge. Well, you know where AI is heading? It's heading in the direction of all of the knowledge of the world will be at your fingertips. In a sense, it is now with your phone. It is just absolutely astounding. Or your watch. Now, again, I'm not saying that AI technology is bad. I'll tell you why I'm saying this, is because the world is getting to the place now where we are going to become so dependent on AI. For one thing, I think that people are going to have a little too much free time. That's one of the dangers of AI. Ezekiel 16, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. Jesus said at the end of time, it will be like Sodom, right? It's already getting there, amen? And what does it say about that? Ezekiel 16, 49, look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter, meaning Gomorrah, had pride, fullness of food, abundance of idleness. An abundance of idleness. You ever heard idleness is the devil's workshop? The more and more people have computers doing things for them, and you know, there'll be computer farming. I've got a friend in Kovalo. He's a multimillionaire now, made all of his money from developing this automated satellite system that measures what's in the field and it regulates computerized watering for agriculture. And he patented that. Had a silicon company that just he made a fortune. And it's all going that direction. But gives us a lot of leisure. AI is used for entertainment. Do any of you remember? I remember when the first Atari game came out called Pong. Wow, I could play that all day, you know? And then asteroids, and this little ship spins around in a circle and tries to blow up these asteroids that are trying to hit it. And it was so one-dimensional, it's silly. And then you look at what the kids are playing now, Call of Duty, War, Grand Theft Auto, where it's three-dimensional immersive sounds and stories and characters, and they wear these headphones, and they can actually walk around in the room and be part of it, and they're playing against somebody who's in another country. It's a different world that we're living in now. A lot of idle time, being hypnotized by worldly wisdom. In 2014, Elon Musk likened AI developers to people who are summoning demons they cannot control. Now, this is a guy that, you know, he's using this technology, but he says, I can see where it's going. And it's going to do wonderful things for hospitals, for transportation, for research and medicine, for education. There's so many wonderful opportunities, but it is a tree of good and evil. It is... Who was it that Francis Bacon that said, knowledge is power? Thomas Jefferson, in many of our founding documents, he quotes that when he established the university there near Monticello. Knowledge is power. What AI is doing is taking all of the knowledge of humanity that can be found online, and it puts it at your fingertips, and it can analyze it and sift through it, and it's very, these are powerful tools. You can read in Ecclesiastes 1, verse 13, what does Solomon say about wisdom? Did he know anything about wisdom? I set my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all that was done under heaven. He's wanting to know, he's wanting to understand all of it. This is a burdensome task God has given to the sons of man by which they might be exercised. I communed with my heart saying, look, I've attained to greatness. I've gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge. And I set my heart to know wisdom, knowledge. Notice the emphasis here. And to know madness and folly. And I perceive that this is also grasping for the wind, for in much wisdom is much grief. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Well, as this world increases knowledge in the last days, it can turn to sorrow. You know, in the there's a Signs of the Times article. You want to look at the reference, May 24, 1894, paragraph 9. It is not a strange matter to find a species of refinement and manifestation of intellectual greatness in the lives and characters of those who are inspired by fallen angels. They can be refined, sophisticated, dignified, and devilish. Satan can impart scientific knowledge and give men chapters upon philosophy. He's conversant with history and versed in worldly wisdom. I don't think that the Lord is behind all that's happening with AI. I think there's a lot of power here. I use it. There are a lot of good tools, but there's some dangers, friends. 1 Corinthians 18, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Now, what about using AI for Bible research? Do you know how many pastors right now? I know 8, 10 years ago, a lot of pastors, the way they got ready for their sermon Saturday, because they were preaching Sunday, they go to Sermon Central. They download a sermon. They download the notes in the outline, and then they preach. Didn't require a lot of study. You know, it's through study that we get close to the Lord. They just download it. No, I use technology. Don't be fooled. I use the Logos Bible program. I use several free Bible software. I've got 4 Bible programs on my phone and my iPad, and it's great because I remember when I used to have to search through just a mountain of concordances to find one word. Now, to be honest, I don't even need my Bible programs. I go to Google, and I'll quote part of the verse. It'll tell me where to find it. And I don't have to type it in because I can't type. Did you know that? No, I have a microphone like this, but I got a headset, and I turn on my little computer device, and I talk and type. I correct it, you know. And so I'll just say to Google, you know, where do I find John 3:16? Okay. It's in John 3:16, where it is. But I mean, you know, something like that. And I'll give part of a verse. I usually remember the verses, but I have trouble remembering where the chapter and verse is. It'll take it to me, just like that. It's okay to use this stuff to do research, but if it's a replacement for your study, that's dangerous. I'll tell you for a few reasons. One, your brain begins to atrophy. When I first started my Bible, I had the same Bible for years. I finally wore it out and I had to get a new one. I was handicapped because I got a little different style Bible, and I always knew where on the page to look for a particular verse. I knew where it was, and then I could find out the verse. And you become very familiar how to find your way back and forth through the Bible. And I heard about a pastor who said, next week we're going to talk about lying. I want everyone in the church to read Mark chapter 17, come back, and we'll talk about it. That next Sunday, he said, now how many of you read Mark 17? And all these hands went up. And he said, now we're going to talk about lying because there is no Mark 17 in the Bible. A lot of people aren't reading their Bibles anymore, and they're looking for the book of Hezekiah, and it's not there. So it's okay, you know, if you're using your Bible program to compare different translations and to do research, and I love it because, you know, I didn't take Greek and Hebrew, but now with my Bible program, I can click on any word, and I can say this for me in Greek, say it in Hebrew, what is the definition in Greek? I've learned a lot of Greek and Hebrew in the last 10 years because of these tools, so that's great. But in preparing this sermon, I did not go to ChatGPT and say, make up a sermon for me on the dangers of AI. Do you know it'll do it? A lot of pastors are doing that now. They'll go to ChatGPT and they'll say, I would like a sermon with 5 points on baptism. And what the computers do is it'll farm all of the religious information that's out there. And that's where the problem is. It's looking through the notes and the commentaries of 150 different denominations. And when you get your answer back, you better look very carefully at the notes because you don't know if the algorithm or the computer program is taking it from Calvinism or Arianism or what different ism it's coming from. And it's going to be spread in the language and the wording of the sermonette. But you know, some people are lazy and they'll just say, I need a sermon for tomorrow. Print this out. I need to write a letter. Thank a person. And I won't ask for a show of hands how many are using that, but I know there's people here, you're using that on a regular basis, and they're amazing tools. But when it comes to Bible research, you need to know your Bible. You need to memorize your Bible. So, I don't know if I want to get too far ahead of myself. I told you that sometimes fantasy is followed by reality. There's been all kinds of books and movies about computers taking over the world, everything from Terminator to iRobot, and just it's on and on, the big list of them. People looking down in time see what direction it's going. The first person that said computers and machines will someday be smarter than people was in the 1800s. And right now what you're looking at is an explosion. I remember when I would take my credit card out to buy something. That's great. I love buying something, just tapping my card. It makes it simple. I remember when I used to give the cashier at the gas station my credit card, and they'd take a piece of paper, and they put a piece of paper over this little machine, and they'd run my card. Any of you remember that? And they say, oh, my machine's broken. I've got to use the cash register. I said, okay, I got money. Do you know if the computer goes down, the gas station says, we can't do any business today? How many of you saw what happened the last few weeks when Denver and Newark, the airports, for 90 seconds, they had a glitch, a blackout? And they don't know if this is another country that's testing their cyber interruption, but shuts down the airport. I think the world's going to get to the place if time lasts. That's what I wanted you to notice. If time lasts, we would get to the place where we are so dependent on the internet, because all of this AI, it doesn't come with pencil and paper. It comes through the internet and through electricity. And everything is going to run on that. And if the power grid should go down or if the internet should go down, we become paralyzed. Trucks that are being tracked and driven cannot deliver food to cities, and you'd have bedlam and chaos and rioting. And people who have been used to being entertained and fed all the time can behave very badly. And you say, Pastor Doug, are you saying that we're looking for a dystopian apocalypse at the end of time? No, here's what I'm saying. I think Jesus has to come soon, because if he doesn't come soon, that's what's going to happen. Are you with me? Jesus said, except those days be shortened, no flesh would be saved. Does Jesus say, I'm coming to a world where it's a total blackout and everyone is paralyzed because the computers died and nobody knew what to do anymore? No, he doesn't say that. What does he say? When I come again, and I've got it for you here, you'll find it in Matthew. Well, I'll read from Luke 17, verse 26. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days when the Son of Man comes. They ate and they drank. They married. You know, you don't marry unless you plan on having a future. And they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. They were surprised. Life was going on as normal, and it took them by surprise. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. You don't plant if you don't think you have a future. You don't build if you don't think you have a future. Everything they're doing here, they think they've got a future in front of them. So, if the present world continues to go on the way it is, what would happen if Jesus doesn't come? You remember the story in Daniel chapter 4 where King Nebuchadnezzar has his dream of a tree, and Daniel warns him that because of your pride, Babylon was at the zenith of the world. It went from the Tower of Babel to Nebuchadnezzar. And he was a brilliant king. You remember, he's the one who interviewed Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he says they were 10 times wiser. He was a brilliant king. Daniel said, humble yourself or you'll get brought down. A haughty spirit goes before a fall. A haughty spirit goes before a fall. And the Lord says to the devil, how you are fallen from heaven. And the king of Tyre, you think you are wiser than Daniel. It's a prophecy about the devil. Nebuchadnezzar is walking on the balcony of his palace, and he's looking at the sun setting over this majestic golden kingdom, and he says, is not this the great Babylon that I have built? Out of my power, my wisdom, my genius, word came from heaven, and God said, your glory is taken from you, and you're going to grovel like a beast. And in a few moments, he went from the king of the world to a brute animal on all fours eating grass. That's what would happen to the world if Jesus doesn't come. If the world gets to the place where it is so hyper-dependent on computers and the internet, what do you think it would look like even now if America was unplugged from the internet right now? How many of you would it cause problems? Can you still drive a Tesla car without an internet? And if the power goes out, what does it do? That's why I think Jesus has to come soon. Because, you know, if we're surrounded by chaos and darkness and this, you know, apocalypse tsunami's gone through the world and packs of dogs are roaming around and people with guns and, you know, these Mad Max images that people have of the future, if it gets to that, everyone's going to think Jesus has got to come now. But he says, I'm going to come when you think not, which means sometime between now and when we become totally dependent on a computerized world, I think Jesus has to come. Does that make sense? That's why I think that this is an important study. And technology is great, but as long as AI continues to increase, everything good that God does, people can also turn it for evil. Because the hearts of men are fully set in them to do evil. The wicked heart is desperately evil. Who can know it? And whatever this technology is, there are countries that want this power. Knowledge is power. They want this power, and they will use it. You don't think China is thinking right now? By the way, I had a map. I don't know if I addressed it, but it talked about the countries in the world that are having an AI arms race. Right now, the U.S. is in the lead. China's not far behind. Then there's India and England, and everybody's racing. This tour that the president went on, most of that investment is investing in AI technology because they realize whoever has that knowledge will have the power in the future. There it is. Startups by country of AI around the world. There is an arms race right now. It's an AI arms race because this knowledge is power, and some people are going to use that power for military development. You know, the military has all kinds of robots that are being developed right now. They used to be just sort of gizmos that you take to a show and show people, but now they're actually producing them. And we know that in Ukraine, they're fighting with drones. Russia's got more antiquated equipment. The EU is supplying Ukraine with more sophisticated equipment that can pinpoint the tanks and just zero right in and blow them up with a little drone. It's like a bird. They can't shoot it out of the sky fast enough. And that technology is just going to continue to develop. And whatever we develop for good, the devil is going to take it and use it for evil. So Jesus has to come soon. Amen. And that's why I'm not telling you, run for the hills. I believe in country living. And if you can get a place out in the country, that's great. But don't forget where most of the people in the world live now is in the cities. We've got to do all we can to use this technology to preach the gospel and reach the lost. Can you say amen?